telling you, I can't do it.
You have to. Gennaro turned away, looked at the hole, looked back.
I can't. You can't make me.
I suppose not, Muldoon said. He held up the stainless steel prod. Ever felt a shock stick?
No.
Doesn't do much, Muldoon said. Almost never fatal. Generally knocks you flat. Perhaps loosens your bowels. But it doesn't usually have any permanent effect, at least not on dinos.
But then people are much smaller.
Gennaro looked at the stick.
You wouldn't.
I think you better go down and count those animals, Muldoon said. And you better hurry. Gennaro looked back at the hole, at the black opening, a mouth in the earth. Then he looked at Muldoon standing there, large and impassive. Gennaro was sweating and light-headed. He started walking toward the hole. From a distance it appeared small, but as he came closer it seemed to grow larger.
That's it, Muldoon said.
Gennaro climbed backward into the hole, but he began to feel too frightened to continue that way. The idea of backing into the unknown filled him with dread. So at the last minute he turned around and climbed head first into the hole, extending his arms forward and kicking his feet, because at least he would see where he was going. He pulled the gas mask over his face. And suddenly he was rushing forward, sliding into blackness, seeing the dirt walls disappear into darkness before him. And then the walls became narrower, much narrower, terrifyingly narrow, and he was lost in the pain of a squeezing compression that became steadily worse and worse, that crushed the air out of his lungs, and he was only dimly aware that the tunnel tilted slightly upward along the path, shifting his body, leaving him gasping and seeing spots before his eyes, and the pain was extreme. And then suddenly the tunnel tilted downward again, and it became wider, and Gennaro felt rough surfaces, concrete, and cold air. His body was suddenly free and bouncing, tumbling on concrete, and then he fell. Voices in the darkness, fingers touching him, reaching forward from the whispered voices. The air was cold, like a cave.
Okay?
He looks okay, yes.
He's breathing.
Fine. A female hand caressing his face. It was Ellie.
Can you hear?
She whispered.
Why is everybody whispering?
He said.
Because.
She pointed. Gennaro turned, rolled, got slowly to his feet. He stared as his vision grew accustomed to the darkness. But the first thing that he saw gleaming in the darkness was eyes. Glowing green eyes. Dozens of eyes. All around him. He was on a concrete ledge, a kind of embankment about 7 feet above the floor. Large steel junction boxes provided a makeshift hiding place, protecting them from the view of the two full-sized velociraptors that stood directly before them, not 5 feet away. The animals were dark green, with brownish tiger stripes. They stood upright, balancing on their stiff, extended tails. They were totally silent, looking around watchfully with large, dark eyes. At the feet of the adults, baby velociraptors skittered and chirped. Farther back in the darkness, juveniles tumbled and played, giving short snarls and growls. Gennaro did not dare to breathe.
Two raptors!
Crouched on the ledge, he was only a foot or two above the animal's head height. The raptors were edgy, their heads jerking nervously up and down. From time to time they snorted impatiently. Then they moved off, turning back toward the main group. As his eyes adjusted, Gennaro could now see